Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Department of Overthinking here at Car Talk Plaza, something we're rarely accused of.
True. But this is a little story sent to us by a listener named just Bill, and I liked it because this could have easily happened to me.
Okay.
Bill writes, I was shopping at the local supermarket where I selected the following. A half gallon of milk, a carton of eggs, a quart of orange juice, a head of romaine lettuce. You writing this down?
I got it. I'm going to slow down a little, will you?
A 2-pound can of coffee.
Decaf or?
No, regular. And a 1-pound package of bacon.
Uh-huh.
As I was unloading my items on the conveyor belt to check out, a drunk standing behind me watched as I placed the items in front of the cashier. While the cashier was ringing up the purchases, the drunk calmly stated, you must be single. I was a bit startled by this proclamation, but I was intrigued by the derelict's intuition since I was indeed single. I looked at the 6 items on the belt, and I saw nothing particularly unusual about my selections that could have tipped off the drunk to my marital status. Curiosity getting the better of me, I said, well, you know what? You're absolutely right. But how on earth did you know that I was single? And the drunk replied, because you're ugly.
Ah, yes. Chalk one up for in vino veritas. Yeah, I mean, now, if he was sober, he would never have said that
to
Bill.
He would never have said that.
But when you're drunk, and you're
drunk,
free.
You're free to go anywhere.
You're free to state the truth. Because you're ugly. Well, look, if you have a question about your car, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Pat from Otisfield, Maine.
Hi, Pat.
Otisville?
Otisfield. Yes, sir.
What's that?
Well, it's a little town on Thompson Lake, about 30 miles from Portland.
Really? Oh, you sound like a Mainer. Portland.
Oh, no. We're Harvard Square people.
You are?
My husband worked in Harvard Square.
Where?
Sage's Market.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he was the meat manager.
Well, you know, Sage's is no longer there.
Well, we know that.
That's why they're in Maine.
You see, we couldn't afford the sign that said meat manager, so our kids bought him one that said meathead.
Close enough.
And probably closer to the truth.
Absolutely.
So what's happening, Pat?
Okay, we have 2 automobiles.
Yeah.
One is a 95 Chevy 4-cylinder Corsica,
uh-huh.
And the other one is a 99 Taurus station wagon. We leave the Taurus in Maine in the winter when we go south, and we leave the Chevy in Florida when we come north. Mm. And when we come back, both, this has gone on for a couple of years, I hear what I call a grinding. My husband calls it rubbing, and it turns into a squeak. So at our age, any one of those things can be. And it just happens when I'm turning the wheel, of course, obviously.
Wait, which car are we talking about?
Both of them. It happens to them both.
Oh, I was afraid you were going to say that.
And my husband's answer to everything is to spray it. He sprayed all the belts, and I don't
That's
know.
What he used to do when somebody came in and claimed a cut of meat was a little tough. I'll just spray it.
But anyway, I never even had to worry about cars before. He now has macula, so he's unable to really do things, but he still can see well enough to spray, and he keeps telling me not to worry about it.
Okay, tell us again what this noise is and when it happens.
Let's do one car at a time. Let's do the Corsica.
Okay. When I back out of the driveway,
yep,
and begin to turn the wheels to go left or right, it makes this wild, crazy noise.
As you're turning the wheel?
Yes.
Is the car moving?
Oh, yeah.
Can you make the noise, Pat?
Oh.
Come on, you can do it.
I don't know if I can make the noise or not. It's a squeal, squeaky. Well, when he's sitting here saying, no, it isn't, no, it isn't.
Put him on the phone. He sounds like a pain in the neck.
Oh, he is.
Well, give us some idea what it sounds like.
It sounds to me like it's definitely, I don't want to say metal on metal because it's probably not quite that loud, but it's a real squeak.
Well, here's what I think.
Is it e e e e?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that sounds really good.
That one?
Yes.
Does it happen even when you're going straight?
No. Just when I begin to turn the wheel.
And after you've driven it a few days, is the condition ameliorated by driving it, or does it stay?
Well, the thing of it is, you never hear it when you're on the straightaway, so I guess I think it gets less as we drive it, yes.
Well, after you've been home for 2 weeks.
Right.
Does it still make the noise?
Yes.
And after 2 months?
Yeah, it's still doing it.
It's still doing it.
What took you so long to call?
Oh, because he sprayed it.
What's he spraying these things with? He's spraying the belts, obviously.
Yes, he had a belt spray.
Well, you know, those kinds of belts that these cars have are not supposed to be sprayed.
Oh, okay.
That spray is really for V-belts.
Oh, all right.
And both of these cars have serpentine belts.
All right.
And it could be that the belts are just old and cracked and tired.
Okay.
Kind of like my brother.
Oh, all right. Kind of like my husband.
But it's because it's so easy to reproduce the noise. And, of course, it happens if the car sits for a long period of time.
Uh-huh.
And if the belts are as old as the car, which they may be.
They probably are.
You know, and what happens is they get all dried out. And no amount of spray is ever going to fix that.
Okay.
You know.
But a new belt will.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Give him a belt while you're at it, too.
Well, thank you. This has been exciting. I've always wanted to be on radio.
Well,
me too.
We've been waiting for you to call, Pat.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck, Pat.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Oh, hi. This is Eddie from Minneapolis.
Hey, Eddie. Hi, what's going on?
Well, I got a Mini Cooper recently, and it's got a hesitation problem.
Really?
Yeah.
Under what circumstances?
Yeah.
Under all circumstances, at high speeds, at low speeds.
If you step on the gas pedal, it'll always hesitate before it takes off.
Not always.
Ah.
Every day it will, every trip it will, but not every time.
Ah.
And when you say it hesitates, elaborate.
Yeah. Okay, so it starts to move forward, you know, if I'm at a four-way stop, for example.
Yeah.
It starts to move forward into the intersection, and then it just freezes. And the RPM stay the same on the tachometer. I don't hear any noise, but it doesn't cut out.
Uh-huh.
And you're just sitting there with oncoming traffic barreling towards you and wondering what's going to happen next, you know?
And so the car is not moving except it's rolling?
Yeah, it's just the momentum from the initial acceleration. Yeah.
And then what happens? Obviously, at some point it begins to move.
Yes, and then if I push on the gas pedal again a little bit further, there's no reaction. And then if I let up on the gas pedal, it'll start to take off again and accelerate.
Wow. And if that has happened once today, as you continue driving, will it happen again at the next stop, maybe?
Yes, but there's no way to predict.
Did you buy it new?
It's actually leased. It's new, yeah.
It's new. So it's under warranty?
Yes.
Wait, what are you bothering us for?
Because they don't know what's wrong with it. I took it to the dealer.
Oh, they don't know what's wrong with it.
They don't have to know what's wrong with it.
They just have to give you another one.
Well, I didn't realize that.
Well, I don't know what kind of lemon laws you have in Minnesota, but in our state here, in Massachusetts, if you take the thing back, so I don't know exactly what the requirements are, but if you take it back, I think, 3 times for the same thing,
mm-hmm.
and they keep it for more than, you know, a certain number of days, and they can't fix it,
yeah,
they have to give you another car.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't answer your question. It seems to me like the problem was with the electronic throttle.
Uh-huh.
And I'm surprised that the check engine light hasn't come on in any of this.
Yeah, they said they did a computer diagnostic and they came up with nothing.
They got nothing.
Really?
And so I asked a friend who's a mechanic,
uh-huh.
and he said, well, it's probably the fuel system if there was no computer codes coming out.
No.
Well,
not.
Yeah, I know, but the chances that it's something like the fuel pump or a clogged filter, and all, that's pretty remote possibility,
mm-hmm.
considering
yeah.
that the car's so new.
It's too new.
Yeah.
You know, the scanner may not give them information about the fuel system pressure and all that, so they may want to, in fact, do a bona fide fuel pressure test on it.
Uh-huh.
But I would absolutely just leave it with them and say, when you have it fixed, call me.
Yeah.
No, I think they should be accommodating. I think the fact that it's only, they should be embarrassed, and it's dangerous.
Yes, it is dangerous.
I mean, what if you were on a railroad track with a Budliner bearing down on you?
Well, I'll tell you, I've pulled out into... To pass a car in a two-lane highway, the same problem.
Sure, it's awful.
Oncoming traffic, and that can put your heartbeat a little bit faster.
Yeah, yeah. No, Eddie, this is unacceptable.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, did you like the play? I mean, other than this small little problem, do you like the car?
Yeah, I think you've been too nice to them, Eddie.
Well, they told me they were all the same.
Yeah, you got to go in and say, this is ridiculous. I refuse to drive it. I'm not going to pay you anymore. Uh-huh. Fix it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Be tough.
Be tough.
Good luck.
And if they won't fix it, tell them they can kiss your butt.
Well, Eddie, we'll send you a card when you're in jail.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate your help.
Be tough. See you later.
Okay, bye.
8888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lynn calling from Fargo, North Dakota.
Hi, Lynn.
Lynn. L-Y-N-N?
Nope.
I had L-I-N.
That's right.
It is?
Yes, L-I-N.
How the hell did you come up with a name like that?
Somebody told you.
Lynn, if you listen to the show, and you've heard the number of wrong answers we give, you think anyone tells us anything?
No, I really thought I would trick you on the Lynn, though.
So is it just short for Linda?
No.
Lindsay?
Nope.
It's just Lynn. Lynn.
Well, it was a longer name. But...
Lindmuller.
Lindell.
Lindell?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it was actually, they wanted a son so they could name him Lindy after Lindbergh, the year I was born.
Well,
I messed up their plans, and my dad still called me Lindy the whole time I was growing up.
Well, I like L-I-N.
Where'd you say you were from?
Fargo, North Dakota.
Wow.
It's the most fabulous place on the face of Earth.
We know. We saw the movie.
It was a great movie.
It certainly
we
was.
Have a great sense of humor about ourselves.
Oh, we know that. So what's going on, Lynn?
Well, I own a 2000 Kia Sophia.
Uh-huh.
I have the window on the driver's side. I cannot, I have to lower the window to get out of my car. The door handle on the inside of the driver's thing quit working about a year ago. So now, in order to get out of my car, I have to lower the window, reach outside, open the car door, and then hopefully get out quickly, and then raise the window and lock the doors.
Oh, yeah, I've had a few cars like that.
But my problem is I want to know if you guys think I could fix this myself.
Oh. Geez, yes. Well, give us some idea of what you think your level of expertise is. What else have you done in your car?
Drive it.
Have you ever washed it?
Some days I think I should. But.
Yeah,
but well, not this one. Not this.
See, this. Well, you probably just need the door handle. You know, the handle that's inside the car is probably broken. You know, I don't know exactly how it is in this car, but there's usually a rod that goes from the handle inside to the lock.
Okay,
and what's happening is you're moving that handle, but maybe the rod has come disconnected or the clip has fallen off. But in order to do this, you have to take the door apart.
That's what I was afraid you were going to say.
Well, yeah. You have to, because that's where all the stuff is.
And that panel pops off.
Okay.
You know, but you may break all the clips taking it off. Now, I've always found that it's helpful to have a friend, even if the friend knows less than you. And here's why. The friend
there
won't
might be things that are dangerous.
Well, there might be things that are dangerous to do, and you can have the friend do them, but the friend won't be afraid to break your car.
And then I can blame the friend.
Well, whatever, but friend. You know, and it's maybe always good to pick someone who isn't such a good friend. So you won't mind losing him or her. But if you have a friend, oftentimes a friend will give you encouragement and say, just rip that thing off, Lynn. Don't worry. That's how you get it off. And you may together have enough courage in the aggregate.
Yeah.
And I don't say knowledge, but courage to go after this. And then when you open it up, it may be immediately obvious what's wrong.
Well, I have approached it with a screwdriver, and then the car would laugh at me, and I'd walk away. So I have not done anything with it.
Yeah.
Well, let me say this. I mean, it's unlikely that you're going to do anything insofar as damage is concerned that's irreparable, nor are you going to render the car unsafe to drive. Unless somehow you make it so the door won't close anymore, but I trust you won't do that.
I guess I could tape it shut then.
You could tape it shut.
Yeah.
But, you know, alternatively, you could take it to the dealer. Other than this one little problem, do you like this car?
Well, this is the same car that when I first bought it, the horn would only honk at night.
I'm glad you didn't call us on that one.
I thought about it, but then I quit working completely, so then I had to have a new one put in.
That's good.
But other than those two problems, the car's been pretty good?
Well, then there's this rubber thing that goes around the windshield that every time the weather changes, it comes loose and goes flap, 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 flap around my windshield. So I've got that taped down, though.
But, oh, good.
So other than that, Mrs. Lincoln.
Well, look at Lynn. Take the door apart. Have a friend help you. And I think, if nothing else, you'll both have some laughs.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, and you can't hurt anything. And if you decide you can't fix it, and you've broken all those clips, fling that door panel in the back seat and take it to the dealer.
I'll send it to you.
All right.
I'll send it to us.
See you later.
Thanks, you guys.
That's
love you.
Call.
I mean,
bye.
This will not be expensive, so don't be afraid to take it to the dealer.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy.
Hey, do you remember last week's puzzler?
No, I don't.
Well, I like how we got that out of the way fast this week. You remember? No. Nice and simple. No dragging it out. No hemming and hawing. No lame guesses. You didn't waste anyone's time today by trying to conjure up reasons for why you couldn't remember or why circumstances didn't allow for you to retain.
All right, will you please get on with it?
Oh, all right. The puzzle was about buying a brand new car and how a customer saw something that the dealer didn't.
Song and dance?
No, something else.
We'll be right back with the puzzler answer and more of your car questions in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
It's got a rattle in the back and the windshield's got a crack. The mats are kind of worn and the seat's a little torn. The radio don't play and the washer, it don't spray. It's got a few battle scars. But this old car, this old car, it gets me where I wanna go. This old car, this old car, it gets me where I wanna go.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from the $50 Robert Siegel paid us not to post his karaoke version of Dancing Queen on YouTube from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Travelocity, offering tools and information to plan travel worldwide. Support available 24/7, so you'll never roam alone. Travelocity.com. And
Allstate, who offers accident forgiveness, part of Your Choice Auto,
which was probably invented by some guy with a teenage driver like mine in his house.
More information at allstate.com/teen. Are you in good hands? And
LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
And even though Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz clicks her heels 4 times whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Mm-hmm.
This puzzler was sent in by someone named Ben Hayes, and it was based on a true story. That is, before I got my hands on it. Anyway, this is sort of what he wrote. I was in the market for a new car a few years ago, and I decided early one Saturday morning to go do it. I wanted a Toyota Corolla, so I headed for the biggest, baddest Toyota dealership in the county. I figured they'd have the best selection and probably the best prices, too, right?
Hmm.
So I pulled up to the dealership in my clunker, and the salesman pounced. While he was pumping my hand vigorously, I told him I wanted a new Corolla with AC and power steering. The color didn't really matter, but I wanted a manual transmission. Sheesh. His enthusiasm faded. We hardly ever sell manuals. Practically all the cars we sell are automatics. We may have 1 or 2 manuals on the lot. I sensed he was hoping to talk me into an automatic. Unfortunately, he said, our computer system is down this morning, and the only way to find one is to go out into the lot and walk up and down the rows.
Mm.
To his clear disappointment, I said, let's go for it. Well, I couldn't believe how many Corollas they had. Together, we walked down a long row of them. When we looked to the left, there was a sea of rear bumpers and tailpipes. And when we looked to the right, more Corollas showing off their headlights and grills. While I leisurely walked down the middle of these 2 rows of cars, the salesman bounced from one row to the other, looking in the windows to see what kind of shifter each had. And he tried to do it pretty efficiently in that he would stand between 2 cars on my left and he would look into the driver's window of one car and he'd look into the passenger window of the car next to it. So he was checking 2 cars at a time. And then he'd run in front of me to the cars parked on my right and check 2 more. As he went back and forth, I walked down the middle of the row, never getting closer than, say, 15 feet to any of these cars. And from my vantage point, there was absolutely no way I could possibly see into any of them.
Mm.
Yet at one point I said, oh, that one's a stick shift.
Mm.
The salesman walked up to it, looked inside and said, You're right. How did you know that? And the question was, how did I know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, how did I know that?
Yes, indeed.
I knew it from the window sticker.
Yes, you did.
Also called the Monroney. And I'll explain why it's called the Monroney in a minute, but the window sticker lists all the equipment in the car. Now, at that distance, like 15 or 20 feet away, I couldn't possibly read standard shift.
But you could see the big mileage numbers.
Exactly. I could see the city mileage and the highway mileage. And all the automatics were the same, whatever they were, 27 and 34. And then when we got to the stick shift car, it was 28, for example, and 36. And
just
I knew it was
a slight difference.
Just a slight difference, a little better. And I knew that that car couldn't be an automatic, but it had to be a stick shift if it was a Corolla. Pretty good, huh?
Not bad at all.
So who's our winner?
The winner this week is Kelly Deal from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And for having her answer selected at random, from among all the correct answers that we got, Kelly will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which she can get our new CD collection called Four Perfectly Good Hours. This set features four of our favorite shows exactly as they aired on NPR.
You know, when we come out with our next set of four shows, we'll be able to promote the two sets together as a sleep aid. Because if you listen to both sets, you'll get a full 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah, good.
Anyway, we'll have the new puzzler in the third half of the show. So you might want to work on the crossword puzzle till then. But by the way, I wanted to explain what a Monroney is.
Yeah.
And it's M-O-N-R-O-N-E-Y. And it was named...
Mr. Monroney.
Senator Monroney. Yeah. Senator Monroney was a senator, I believe, from Oklahoma, who in 1958... introduced legislation that required manufacturers to post on the window of the car all the equipment that that particular car had. So when that sticker was affixed to the glass, you knew that that particular car that you looked at, that blue one with the white interior, had the things on it that it said it had.
Power steering, blah, 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 blah.
Right. And it was done so dealers couldn't do more bait and switch than they had been accustomed to doing. Because I think that was probably the inspiration behind
it. That happened in 1958?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would have guessed 20 years ago.
Well.
I would have been wrong.
You would have been off by a factor of two.
Again.
Anyway, if you have a question about your car, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, Click and Clack, it's Mike out in Pasadena, California.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
I got a 97 Subaru Outback Sport, and its check engine light is on.
Okay.
I figured I'd tell you that right up front, because everybody always forgets to.
They don't conveniently forget to tell us. And
exactly. The thing is that with mine, I know exactly what the problem is.
How long has it been on?
Years.
Years? Okay, that tells us a lot.
Yeah, it's one of the two sensors that reads the gas level in my tank is busted.
Huh.
I know that's the problem, and I'm wondering, is there a way to shut off the fact that that keeps telling my check engine light to go on so that if it was going on for a different reason, I would know that there was a problem?
Ah.
Oh, this is Outback. This is all-wheel drive.
That's right, yeah.
And this has two sensors because it has a tank that straddles the drive shaft that goes to the rear differential.
Both sides.
Right.
Yeah, what happened was I had the check engine light pop on. This was a bunch of years ago. I took it to the Subaru dealership to get it diagnosed, and they said, hey, it's the gas tank sensor. I said, great. So they charged me a fortune to take the gas tank out and fix the sensor, and 2 days later, the check engine light came back on. I went back in, and I said, hey, what's going on? They said, oh, the other one must be busted too.
Oh.
And then they wanted to charge me a fortune again, and I said, forget it.
Well, you know, we've mentioned this before in the show, but it's entirely possible that the check engine light is on for a different reason now. Not a different reason. I believe that this is indeed keeping the light on, but there may be something else in addition.
Yeah, every once in a while I take it in and have somebody plug it into a computer, and I say, hey, why is the light coming on? And they say, oh, the gas tank. So
That's all they say.
Yeah, that's all that's ever popped up. And I'm just wondering, is there a way to turn off the alert that comes from that one problem so that if the light comes on, I know it's a different problem?
Ah, see, the second part of it is the hard part. The first part is simple. Black tape.
How many miles are on this thing, Mike?
About 125,000.
So you're going to keep it, right?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to keep it for a while.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to keep it, you might as well fix it.
Yeah, that is where I am. I remember it costing a fortune.
Well, the thing is, I think in order to get access to this stuff, you have to take the tank out. So if you're going to take it out, you certainly don't want to do that and try to snip one wire, for example. Cut the blue wire, and that'll disarm the bomb. I don't know. But you may want to go onto the Subaru car club, and they.
Okay.
I'd be willing to bet, and we will certainly solicit answers from among our listeners. Because I bet you there's someone out there who has had this same problem and said, oh, yeah, I got rid of that thing by cutting the blue wire, for example.
Fantastic.
Because it's sending a signal to the computer, which is saying that low fuel light isn't working. And
if you disable that, it will not disable any other signal that it's sending.
That's exactly what I'm trying to pull off.
That's exactly what you're trying to do.
Well, I'd go with the blue wire, Mike. I don't know what color those wires are. But if you see a blue one, cut it.
Fantastic.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm sure someone will be able to help Mike.
Yeah, we were very helpful.
It wasn't us, though. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Twyla from Trenton, Missouri.
What's up?
Well, I am calling to get some advice about my brother's old Toyota truck that I borrowed.
And you did something too.
Well, I didn't, but
it happened.
It happened.
While she was driving.
If it was on your watch, Twyla,
I know. That's the problem. It was on my watch.
Give us all the gory details.
Oh, well, it was just parked on the street.
Yeah.
And someone backed into it and just demolished the door and that one panel. And this is like his favorite truck. It's an 89 Toyota that he loves.
And this damage that was done, was it done on the driver's side or the passenger side?
The driver's side.
Okay, I'm with you.
So I have had it repaired and repainted.
Really? You did?
I did.
Did you tell him?
No.
Oh, you sneaky devil, you.
You didn't tell him? You just returned his truck painted.
I did. I did that on Monday.
And he didn't notice?
Well, he noticed that it had been painted, but he just thinks I did this nice thing.
Oh, so he is to this day, he doesn't know.
Right. I had it for 2 months, and it happened like the second week I had it.
Oh, you've had it for a long time.
And so I had to drive like 4 hours to this little town in Kansas to find a door that fit it. And then I had some friends who have an auto shop, and they painted it for me.
And then, so you did it early so that in the ensuing week, you could slap mud on it and make it look lived in, so to speak. So it didn't stand out like a brand new door.
Well, I don't think she did that purposely.
I didn't.
But it sort of worked out.
But you should have.
Yeah. So what's the problem?
Well, the problem is I just feel so guilty about this, and he really likes you guys. So I was thinking.
The question is, does he like you?
I want him to keep liking me.
Yeah.
And the other part of this is that about 2 years ago, he had a brand new sports car, and I wanted to borrow his truck. He made me take his sports car, and it got in a hail damage storm.
Oh.
And it was like $8,000 worth of damage.
So how did that work out?
He almost cried.
Oh.
And so I told myself I will never borrow another vehicle from him again,
but
and I did.
You know what? I have a great idea.
What's that?
You need to buy a vehicle.
I think he's going to love you even more when he finds out what you did.
Well, he saw it and he thanked me.
Well, sure. I just want to give you an example of you know.
If it had been my brother.
Well, I just wanted exactly what I wanted to say. Go
if
ahead.
It had been my brother, he would simply say, something happened to your truck, it's broken. See you later. And he would blame me for it.
Well, the truth of the matter is that you didn't do anything wrong. I mean, you parked in the street. Had he come to visit you, Twyla, where would he have parked?
In the street.
In that very spot.
Sure.
And if that had happened to the truck then, would it have been your fault? Would you have said, I came to visit you, pony up the money to fix this? Of course not.
No, but he loves this truck.
He loves it. And up until now, he loved you, too.
I know. Well, so I was hoping that you could call him and tell him for me.
Oh, you chicken. All right, give us his number. We'll take his number off the air. We're going to take you off the air for a minute.
Okay.
Give us his number.
Oh,
What's his name?
David.
David. So even if he has an answering machine, we're going to just leave the message on his machine.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right, you chicken, you. Give us the number.
Okay.
Got it.
All right. Hold on. Don't go away.
Okay, you can stay on the line, I think, and we'll put David on, and then you can have like a, you know, a hug fest afterwards.
I hope a hug fest.
Here we are.
Dave Steele
is not available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, David, we're friends of your sister, and we want you to know she's fine, but your truck is whacked.
Oh, the truck, she smashed up your truck, man. I mean, you're not going to believe what happened to this thing. It's a wreck. I mean, you'll probably just have to junk it.
Yeah, you're never going to speak to her again.
Is that what you wanted us to say,
Twyla? You're not helping.
No, here's the deal, man. You lent her your truck, and some inconsiderate person evidently backed into it and did some damage, and she didn't want to tell you because of that hailstone incident. And she wanted to, so on her own initiative, she went and found a replacement door and took it to a body shop, had it installed, had the panel behind it painted.
Had it painted.
Oh, I made it look, and splashed some mud on it so it looked like it had never been done. And so she wants you to
know.
She
feels very guilty about this.
That she didn't tell you, but she wants you to know that she loves you and she hopes to see you at Thanksgiving dinner if you're still talking to her.
Yeah.
And can she borrow the truck again? Next weekend.
And if I were you, I would never let her come near the truck.
How's that, Twyla? Is that working? That work out for you?
That's wonderful.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you so much.
Let us know how the next family gathering goes.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
See ya.
We could have been really mean and just left the other message, but oh well. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim. I'm from Lynn.
Hi, Jim from Lynn.
How are we doing?
Lynn, Massachusetts?
Correct.
Excellent. What's going on?
Well, I've got a 2005 Element, and
wow.
It makes a funky noise.
Really?
When I've got the wheel cranked all the way to one side, it kind of makes a really deep, low, it almost sounds like the hip-hop concert coming out of a car next to you sort of thing, like just a real deep rumble.
Yeah,
does
yeah.
this happen when you're driving only or when you just turn the wheel and you stop?
No, right at a stop, at a light, at a...
But you've got to be moving.
Yeah, right when it starts moving, it
right.
kicks in.
And it's coming from the back.
No, front wheels.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I think it's coming from the back, actually, because the problem... is probably coming from the differential.
Differential.
You know? Yeah, the rear.
And that's in the back.
Is that trouble?
Well, it's an all-wheel drive. Is it an all-wheel drive Element?
It is all-wheel drive.
Yeah, it's probably coming from there. I know we had this problem with CRVs.
Yeah,
where if the differential oil wasn't changed, what's in that same housing, and I'm pretty sure it's the same with the Element, is the center differential too.
Yeah.
And it may be that you're getting that groaning noise because the oil needs to be changed. And I know, we've run into this on CRVs, but only because they've been out longer, you know, and maybe that's just starting to surface now on Elements. Have you taken this to the dealer to have them...
It's fairly new, though, 2 years old.
Well, it's 2 years old. You got
how many miles on it?
40,000.
Yeah, 47.
Have you ever taken it in for service?
Not for this. This is kind of a new thing last couple months.
Where do you take it for service? Not the Honda dealer.
Not the Honda dealer. No, I've got a guy in Somerville.
Yeah, well, you might want to just check with the Honda dealer and tell them that you have this noise and suggest to them that it might be the differential that's making the noise. And they might say, oh, yeah, you need the fluid changed.
Is this something that's going to get worse? Or?
Well, I think
really?
So, yeah.
It's not going to get better.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. It's not going to go away by itself.
And if you continue to turn, if you continue to drive in a circle, for example, the noise would be there the whole time.
Exactly,
is that true?
Yeah.
This has to, I mean.
That's it.
It certainly could be something else like a hung-up brake. But I think it's so coincident with what happens with the CRVs that I wouldn't be surprised if you have the same condition. And it's very likely that the problem is because that rear differential fluid needs to be changed.
Okay.
Yeah, try that first.
That's great.
Yeah, if that doesn't work, call back. we'll be
do.
Here for an hour or so.
See ya. Will do.
See you, Jim.
Thanks, fellas.
Bye-bye. All right. I think we have to pause for a short break, but when we come back, I'll have an interesting question for you.
You mean like, why does NPR let us back on the air week after week?
Well, that is an interesting question, too, but I was referring to the new Puzzler, which is from my Traffic Signal series.
Well, we'll be back with more of your calls and a brand new Puzzler in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
Well, I like driving in my car. I go driving every day down city streets and country roads.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our new fractional MGTD ownership. Enjoy Tom's MGTD one day a month for only your portion of the towing fees from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Pabst Brewing, supporting live music and local artists nationwide and proud supporter of NPR Music Podcasts at PabstBlueRibbon.com. And
Allstate, who reminds you to pay more attention to the road and less attention to loud, obnoxious, overbearing distractions, telling you how to drive from the passenger seat. More information at Allstate.com. Are you in good hands? And
Better World Club, offering green roadside assistance nationwide. Committed to changing the world, not just tires, at BetterWorldClub.com.
And even though Peter Sagal lists his profession as boiler repair man whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned earlier, this is from my traffic signal series. The truth be known, that there's only one Puzzler in the series. Till today, that is.
I was suspicious of that.
Well, you may recall the other traffic signal Puzzler was about these new LED traffic lights that seem to be popping up just about everywhere. And well, they should. I mean, they're fabulous. Number one, they hardly ever burn out.
Yeah.
And because every light consists of dozens of those little diodes, even if some of them do burn out, the light still works, unlike the old-fashioned incandescent bulbs, which burn out and leave you with no signal whatsoever.
Yeah.
More than that, they use a small fraction of the energy of the old incandescent bulbs. And number three, they're brighter. I mean, it's a win-win-win, right? Wow, this is great.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it costs quite a bit to purchase and install these lights, but in the long run, they're worth it.
Yeah.
However, as magnificent and wondrous and splendid as these LED lights are, they do have one disturbing shortcoming, one flaw, one defect, if you will. What could it be?
Wow.
Huh? Now, before you go
off the deep end.
I'm going to give a hint.
Okay, because I need it.
Well, I know. If I had waited a few more months before using this puzzle, some of our listeners might have found it a little too easy.
I'm with you. I am with you.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a roof full of evergreen solar spruce line 195-watt photovoltaic solar modules with string ribbon polycrystalline silicon solar cells, ethyl vinyl acetate encapsulant, Tedlar backskin, anodized aluminum frame, and, of course, an electric pool heater. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is Maggie from Tallahassee, Florida.
Maggie.
How are you?
From the Sunshine State, and you sound very sunshiny.
That's what I used to be called when I was in high school, Maggie.
Why?
Because my last name is Maglioszzi.
Oh, you pronounced that stoopy?
I have a 2004 Ford Focus stick shift, mm-hmm. and I have currently come across the problem of a vibrating steering wheel.
Oh.
Yes.
How many miles on this vehicle?
51,164.
Wow. You knew that question was coming up, didn't you?
I recently got a 50,000-mile inspection on my car. It's just what my book told me to do. And as soon as I got it back from the shop, the steering wheel started vibrating.
Oh.
So you immediately stormed back in.
No.
This is what our customers do.
And said, what did you do to my car?
What did you morons do to...
They did come across as morons, but I didn't want to offend anybody.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's never deterred any of our customers.
Under what circumstances does it vibrate?
As long as the tires are moving, my steering wheel vibrates.
Oh.
Anytime you start moving.
Yes.
Your steering wheel oscillates back and forth. Like tick, 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 tick.
Yes.
And does it change as the speed changes?
It's at 10 miles an hour, it's like a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But at like 75 miles an hour, it's like a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right, because you have a bad tire.
A bad tire.
Well,
yes.
It's possible that they've swapped tires somewhere along the way.
Well, they were supposed to rotate tires.
Yep.
I have very distinct tires. I have Pirelli low-profile tires, and I have to thank the previous owner for those.
Okay.
And are they directional tires? Tires that can only go and turn in one direction?
No.
Okay, well, that's good. But it's
one of the tires.
But it's possible that one of the bad tires was in the back.
Uh-oh. And now it's in the front.
But you didn't notice it because you don't have a steering wheel back there. and while it was vibrating and doing this, there was nothing to telegraph that
vibration
and vibration to you. But now you have the entire steering mechanism. You have the tie rods, you have the rack and pinion, the steering column, the coupling, and all that stuff. And all of that movement of that tire, because it's got a tread separation, is getting sent right back to the driver. Which is great, actually, because otherwise you wouldn't have known about it. And you would have driven to Grandma's house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And a tire would have come apart on the interstate, and that would have been the end of Maggie.
Oh, no!
No, it's...
Well, and it might just be an unbalanced tire.
It could be, but my gut feeling is that you have something called tread separation. And
so I need to get on the ground and check to see which tire it is.
You don't have to do anything.
No,
they'll
put it on the lift. I mean, they didn't do anything wrong, except they probably should have road tested it after they did it and before they gave you the car. Because even something as harmless as a tire rotation can make a customer unhappy. We know that.
You have previous experience.
Oh, because we've done it. We've done it
sure.
Dozens of times. And more often than not, it doesn't get caught because, you know, the mechanic's in a hurry. He's done 40 other things to the car, including the brakes and a tune-up and an exhaust system. So he's listening to all the other things to find out where all his other mistakes are and doesn't notice this little one.
So do I need I need an entirely new tire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Those things are like $300.
Well, for $300, you can buy four new ones as long as you don't get those expensive tires.
I should.
You might want, unless these are in really great shape, you might want to ditch these things and just get four new tires, but not these high-performance things.
That sounds like a better idea.
Yeah, but first verify that you need a tire. I'm 99.57321.
Yeah.
Carried to the power of nine.
Yeah, I think you need a tire. All right?
It's not so bad. Could have been worse.
They didn't do
could
it on purpose.
Worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, could have been a lot of other things.
Could have been driving to Grandma's house.
Yeah.
See?
And it's only going to cost you $2,000 to get four new tires.
Not to worry, Maggie. Call Dan.
Thank you so much, guys.
See you later.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys.
Hi,
hey.
Who's this?
This is Daniel. I'm calling from San Diego, California.
Hey, Daniel. Yeah. What's going on?
Well, what's going on? It's nice and sunny. The weather's quite pleasant. And I have a question regarding automotive etiquette.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Now, this wasn't a big deal when I had a Mazda 626. But now that my wife and I have got a smaller car, I noticed that we kind of tend to, you know, push and shove when it comes to the armrest in the center console there.
Wow.
Now, we totally share it. It's totally fine. And it's no problem. But it just got me thinking, you know, like, is there some sort of, you know, rule or etiquette regarding, you know, who does the center console belong to?
Oh, absolutely belongs to the driver.
Hmm.
I'm afraid I have to agree.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, both the cars that I've had are definitely a standard, and it's quite the convenient place to have the elbow, you know, when you're shifting gears, et cetera.
It is.
So who does most of the driving when the two of you are in the car together?
He does.
Of course.
So you being a gentleman, you let her have the middle thing.
Absolutely. You know, and then by no means is this one of those my right or wrong.
No, I mean, it is the driver's prerogative,
mm-hmm.
But if your wife is next to you, then it changes everything. It's whatever she wants.
Right.
If you know what's good for you.
Yeah, right, indeed.
Daniel, remember, you're taking advice from my brother, who has said that to all of his wives. Whatever you want. You want the house?
Whatever you want, honey.
Yeah, each of his wives was a good housekeeper. They got divorced, they kept the house.
Whatever you want, dear. Yeah, I'm learning that, actually, as we go along.
Yeah.
Don't take any advice from me.
And if in real serious situations, it always helps to hike your pants up around mid-chest and say the following words, "Yes, dear." Just remember that, and you'll be happy.
It's a pleasure, gentlemen. Thanks for the time.
See you, Daniel.
Take care.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK.
I mean, that was an automotive question, wasn't it?
Oh, no, but it was so much deeper. Right? 888-CAR-TALK.
I thought this was a show about car talk.
We're not doing well answering the car question, so we'll try the personal relationship stuff.
Okay.
888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
I'm calling from Portland, Oregon, but I must say I was born in Boston.
You were?
You were.
I was, yeah.
And you consider yourself a displaced individual, or are you happy to be in Portland?
I'm happy to be in Portland, but I am displaced because out here they say pop, and I've always said soda.
Yeah. Well, so you were older when you moved.
Well, you know, I wasn't actually. I was 3.
Oh, you were 3?
Yeah.
Oh, so your parents are the ones who say soda.
Exactly.
Well, up here, actually, in the Boston area, it isn't so widely used anymore. But back when we were kids, when the only people who lived here were people who were born here, and we didn't really accept outsiders, we called that stuff, which everyone else called soda pop, tonic.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a bottle of orange soda
or a
bottle of 7-Up was a bottle of tonic.
That sounds so sophisticated for you guys.
Well, we are very sophisticated.
And we said tomato also, and we spoke without unclenching our teeth. Anyway, Kim, what's going on?
Right. So I have a 2000 Saturn SL1.
Uh-huh.
And I recently went in for my 90,000 check.
Okay.
And came back with tons of leaks. And honestly, I don't know much about cars, so I wanted to call you guys and ask what they are and to see if
how serious they are.
Yeah, and if the dealer's estimate is really what I should be paying.
Yeah.
Okay, shoot.
Okay, go.
Okay, the worst of it all is the intake manifold gasket leak, which they estimated at $500.
And yeah. What's that leaking?
I don't know. It's leaking...
Coolant?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, do you see stuff on the ground or not?
Ooh, they didn't say. They didn't tell me.
No, but do you? I mean, you park in the same spot every day?
Oh, yes, I do.
And is it a mess?
No.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
Okay.
So you have an intake manifold leak. Does the car run well?
When I am in, like, at a stoplight, there is a little bit of shaking. Like, I feel like when I'm about to accelerate, it might stall.
Oh,
okay. But I'm not sure if that's actually with the intake manifold.
Well, that intake manifold may be something that's not leaking out, but something that's leaking in.
Huh.
And intake manifolds often have a gasket that will fail and allow extra air to leak in. So the engine is running rough because one of those cylinders where that leak is getting too much air for the amount of fuel that the fuel injector is throwing in.
So we have to tell you that you really got to fix that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to harm the car, per se, but it is going to make it run. It's going to get worse and worse.
It's going to get worse and worse is the problem.
Yeah, and it'll eventually stall every time you come to a stop. But that's number one.
So okay. It's $500 you're going to have to spend.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead. Number two.
Next in line is the oil pan gasket leak.
Might not be too bad.
Yeah, they priced that at around $340.
Okay.
Well, that one you got to get someone to figure out how much is it leaking.
Okay.
Do you ever check the oil?
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
Okay, all right. All right, leak number three. Let's go right to number three.
Well, the answer to that one is it may not be enough to worry about.
Okay.
And we're guessing it isn't because you're not. If it were a big leak, you'd see stuff on the ground.
But she's not looking.
So number three, finally, is the power steering fluid leak. And that is priced, you know, $275.
And what are they going to replace, the high-pressure hose or something? Or the pump?
I think so. Oh, gosh, I feel like a horrible customer. I did not ask enough questions.
No, that's all right.
Yeah, well, you're going to go back and ask these questions.
You're going to go back.
And here's the one question you are going to ask.
Okay.
Why, if these leaks are so horrendous, am I not seeing stuff all over the ground?
Well, before you ask that question, start looking on the ground when you move from the place where you parked overnight.
Okay.
And see if you see anything.
Do you park in the same spot every day?
I sure do.
You do?
So no one else parks in your spot?
No.
Overnight.
Okay.
Well, that's great. Have you seen anyone? You live in an apartment or something?
Actually, on the street, but it's kind of well known that that's my spot,
my
territory.
Excuse me.
Excellent.
What do you have to do? Slash a few tires? Okay. All right, so you're going to, like Tom says, you're going to check to make sure that there isn't a mess there.
Okay.
And
okay.
If there isn't, then all you got to do is take care of the intake manifold.
Well, unless there's other things on the list. So go ahead. So the PS leak, what else is there? Anything else?
Well, only my front brakes, and I already had those replaced.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That was it,
well,
though.
I think of the three things that we're concerned with, I think the intake manifold leak is probably a must.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that the intake leak is a vacuum leak, but you can find that out, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. If it's coolant, you have to fix it. If it's vacuum, you have to fix it. If it's an oil leak, you're going to assess how bad all the oil leaks are by how much of a mess your parking spot is in. Anyone in the neighborhood on crutches? Because if somebody slipped in that oil slick where you park, I mean, you could, you know, you could put somebody in the hospital. So
I should get a big mop out there.
All right. Well, you may not have to if there's no leak.
And you'll be able to tell by where the spots of oil are on the ground whether or not it's the power steering pump or the oil pan.
Well, that sounds pretty manageable.
Yeah, it is manageable.
I think so. And then, you know, if you decide not to do anything in the short term, you can have this stuff checked in a few months when you go for your next service, and they might say, oh, no, those leaks aren't bad. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks so much, you guys.
See you, Kim.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
I certainly have.
our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David Gibraltar Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor. And our engineer is John Cartman Perotti. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor just back from the Guadalupe Chicken Soup, Triple Scoop, Buffet Soup, and Stomach Droop is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Hey, Would You Buzz Off. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our jewelry appraiser is Golda Meir. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahmed Ahmed. Our Russian-American hesitation specialist is Anita Putin Nukarv. Our alignment specialist is Lou Sagusi. Our Car Talk podcast reviewer is Kent Stan Denoise. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikov and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the foliage chasers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tabbert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
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 We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 741, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a primer on recycling.
You know, we happen to be recycling experts.
That's right. Every week we recycle the same lame old answers, you know, power steering pump, heat shield. Your spouse is nuts.
Actually, this primer is on automotive recycling. It's a slideshow courtesy of our pals at Nissenbaum's Junkyard.
Nissenbaum's Auto Recycling Center, if you don't mind.
Oh, yes, of course. This is a step-by-step guide to what happens to your old heap after it goes to the junkyard.
If I don't buy it first.
Exactly. Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
The Economist magazine, which tells not only what's happening around the world each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands in bookstores and at economist.com. And
TIAA CREF, putting the heart of a nonprofit to work for the financial future of those who serve the greater good. That's powerof.org. And
Allstate, who reminds you to let that call go to voicemail when you're driving. Especially if it's your brother calling. More information at allstate.com. Are you in good hands?
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though our children petition the courts to change their last names to Bajoli whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio.